This is Cover 2, a podcast on the Cleveland Browns.
Hit! Browns are going to win!
Mayfield, Enzone, Landry, touchdown!
With Dan Kadar and Browns beat writer Nate Ulrich of the Akron Beacon Journal and Ohio.com. With Steve Dorshuk from the Canton Repository.
It's intercepted! Picked off by Denzel Ward!
Chubb will take this all the way! 92 yards!
Ready, Browns fans. Now, Cover 2, a podcast on the Cleveland Browns.
All right. This is George Thomas with the Akron Beacon Journal. I'm joined with Browns writers Nate Ulrich and Marla Ridenour, who are in Kansas City working on deadline, and they'd like to sleep tonight. So we're going to do a few quick hits and get the heck out of here. Guys, I want your first overall impression of what you saw this afternoon, first of all. Then we'll go into some detail about a couple things.
Go ahead, Marla.
Well, I mean, I guess the close, but, you know, coming close every time against the Chiefs is demoralizing. But to me, I think it's a great sign that you're able to go toe-to-toe with, you know, the best team in the AFC, you know, for two straight games. So, I mean, the self-inflicted wounds, I mean, some of that, I mean, it was some mind-boggling things that I thought cost him. I mean, I'm not looking at Baker throwing a pick, trying to make a play at the end. I'm looking at the Gillen muffing the punt, and I'm looking at Ronnie Harrison getting ejected. And I mean, if the Gillen thing doesn't happen, you know, maybe if you have Ronnie, you know, the defense is more solid down the stretch. I feel like they created their own they killed themselves, you know, with that kind of stuff.
I thought this was kind of, if you're going to lose, this was the perfect way to lose the opener, right? Of course, in the perfect world, you want to win. I mean, that goes without saying, but if you're going to lose, you lose at Arrowhead and take some really valuable lessons away. Now, I know they lost here in the playoffs, but this was a different game. I mean, these are two different teams. This is a new season. The Browns have a new defense. The Chiefs have a new offensive line. By the way, Patrick Mahomes played in the entire game this time, as opposed to, you know, in January 17th game when he didn't play for most of the second half after going into concussion protocol. So this was like the full Chiefs experience. Granted, Odell Beckham Jr. didn't play for the Browns. Tyrann Mathieu didn't play for the Chiefs. So I think you can kind of call that a wash. But to come in here and have the Chiefs on the ropes and exactly where you wanted them and have a fluky play like Jamie Gillen dropping the snap really kind of, you know, change the tide there. You know, I think that the Browns can come out of it looking at a lot of good things they did, but looking at how you have to be capable and composed down the stretch, as Myles Garrett said. He said the Chiefs were the more capable and composed team when it mattered most. And that's what you're going to get a team that's been to the last two Super Bowls. That's what you're going to get from them. And the Browns emphatically checked the box that they can win games last season. But to win these tight ones in this kind of atmosphere against this kind of team, that's another level. And I think that there can be lessons learned from this to help them get there.
So you basically think this is going to teach them how to finish?
Well, we've talked for years about the Browns weren't able to finish, and they weren't able to finish like any game. But I think that finishing a game like this is different than finishing your average game because of the opponent, the atmosphere here at Arrowhead. And so, yeah, I do think that there's a level up for them to, you know, seal the deal in a game like this. And, you know, I just think that they came out on fire. And, you know, scoring a touchdown each of the three possessions, being ultra aggressive, going for it on the fourth downs, going for the 2-point conversion after the penalty on the Chiefs. You know, I think there's a lot of good things to take from it. But, you know, the bottom line is crunch time against one of the best in the NFL.
Let's look at some of the good real quick. Play calling. I mean, from what I saw today, and Marla, I saw your headline on your column, But Kevin Stefanski looks like he's a next level play caller. And he's just going to go for it. He doesn't care. He's playing to win. And it's really different to see in today's NFL.
Now, I wrote my column about that. I mean, I really thought he showed, gave a hint of how much he's going to grow and this offense is going to grow in his second season. I mean, his play calling in the first half was like incredible. I mean, it seemed like everything was perfect, you know. I mean, obviously, I guess there was some rumblings around here that some fans out in the parking lot, Browns fans, wanted him fired, but that wasn't, that's not his fault. I mean, that, you made some errors, players made some errors. I just thought that this is a really good sign for where this offense is going. And I feel like, you hear so much about Andy Reid and how creative and smart and everything he is. And I feel like Stefanski showed a glimpse of that and how he's grown in this game.
Who are organizing play at the end of the first half like that? And that was high-level organization on that play. I mean, it looks like everybody was exactly where they practiced it. You know what I mean? It wasn't willy-nilly until the end when they got cornered. But blocking lines were set up. Everything was set up on that play. And
well, he's a detail fanatic, and you can tell, I'm sure they worked on that while we were not allowed to watch this week.
Anything, Nate?
I mean, I think we need to talk a little bit about the defense, right? I mean, you have the 9 new starters from week 1 of 2021 compared with week 1 of 2020. I thought that there were some bright spots, but, this is Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and all those guys showed up big time. And, to me, it was unfortunate for John Johnson III, who we've watched have just a tremendous training camp and had some really good moments in the game and then just got turned around in coverage there on that Tyreek Hill 75-yard touchdown, right after the Browns had gone up by 9. And I was kind of trying to keep track of the CBS telecast, and they showed Jimmy Haslam in his suite, and it looked like he was kind of breathing a sigh of relief when the Browns went up 9. But with Patrick Mahomes, I mean, look what can happen. And I think it was 3 minutes and 6 seconds is all it took the Chiefs to score 2 touchdowns after the Browns went up by 9 with that Kareem Hunt touchdown run. But I don't know if you guys had takeaways of the defense. I mean, obviously not enough. Myles Garrett did have a sack there in crunch time to give the Browns another chance.
Here's what I noticed with the defense, and especially the pass rush. Mahomes didn't exactly have an easy time. They were just, on more than one occasion, they just came up half a step, half a second short. And in a couple instances, he made a fade for it. The Tariq Hill pass. That was him scrambling to get away from a pass rush and finding him the way only Patrick Mahomes can find someone like that. So I can't beat them up too much. And I spent last year beating them up a lot. And when it came right down to it and the offense needed to get the ball back, with an opportunity to win, the defense showed up. Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney basically met at Mahomes and squashed. There's your opportunity. Boom, offense, go do your job.
Yeah, Myles talked about that. He thought that, he knew he needed to make a play. He thought, he'd set things up to, pull this off, that he had confidence in Baker could do it. So, he said he wanted to go and get the ball out, but he wasn't able to. I mean, he did regret that, but he did put them in position to win.
What about Baker today? I mean, you guys were in the locker room. I'm sure it was asked, what was he doing on the interception? Was he trying to make a play, or was he trying to throw it away? Like Tony Romo's guest on television.
Baker said he was trying to throw it away. I think he said it should have been 3 rows up in the stands. But he got tripped up there, and that ruined things. And he even said that the tight end who was right there, Harrison Bryant, apologized to him. And Baker's like, it's not your fault. I was trying to throw it away. So Harrison Bryant, I think, was just as perplexed about the real intent as we were watching. But I thought Baker was lethally accurate for the vast majority of the day. And that's why I just think that this is like so heartbreaking for the Browns, because I thought he came out on fire. Obviously the offense as a whole did. I mean, they were rushing touchdowns on those, three consecutive possessions to begin the game. But I thought Baker was pinpoint accurate. And then he had a bad ball on their second to last possession. He said that breakup was not on Anthony Schwartz, and he didn't even say it was a good defensive play. He just said it was a bad ball. And so for him to have such an accurate performance, for him to be on point with his location, and then to have that, in one of the biggest moments of the game, that's really tough. And then obviously the interception on trying to throw it away and everything. But I thought overall he really looked good today. And just kind of that was the story of the game. The Browns looked great for most of the day. Baker looked great for most of the day. But just, in the clutch, they didn't get it done.
I want to hit a couple things real quick so you guys can get back to writing. First of all, the Ronnie Harrison thing. I don't know how to parse blame in that situation, since replay clearly showed that the coach, and as a player, you've got to keep your head, but the KC coach pushed him first, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he did. So Ronnie looked like to me it was trying to – so he makes a tackle on the sideline on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and then was trying to kind of step over him. And it looks like Edwards-Helaire, like one of his legs was like raising. And like, so Ronnie basically stepped on him, but not like stepped on him, like really like hard. It was like a leg made contact with the cleat. And, then I think that the Chiefs sideline was trying to get Edwards-Helaire up. And in that sequence, the coach, the running backs coach, I think his name's Greg Lewis, he definitely pushed Harrison. And the problem was Harrison's reaction was too aggressive. And what do they always say, George?
They never catch the instigator. They always catch the second guy. That's what they say.
Classic example. Yeah.
Absolutely. Second point I wanted to make before you guys go, the Browns actually seem to have a plan for Schwartz. And we saw it on full display today. I wasn't expecting them to use him the way they did. I mean, they used him like they would use Odell Beckham Jr. That was their way to take the top off the defense, I think. And with the exception of the one defensive play, he really showed up. And we hadn't seen a lot of him in training camp. So what do you think of what he did today?
I thought, Andrew Berry's been talking about speed, and it's obvious that they think that is a huge weapon that they have to use. I mean, I was very impressed with Schwartz just because he'd been, hurt for most of training camp. The fact that he was up to speed and knew everything and was so involved. I mean, he was out there really early, and really involved. I mean, it was almost like he was a key part of this game plan. So I thought he did a heck of a job for, especially considering, how long he'd been sidelined at camp.
Any thoughts, Nate?
I totally agree. I mean, he was such a non-factor for most of camp with the hamstring issues. We knew about the speed, but we just didn't get to see him on the field much, and he showed up today. So if he can stay healthy, we can see what kind of weapon he can be. He's like what they wanted to do with JoJo Natson last year, but he's like a deluxe he's like a deluxe version of that. And JoJo's obviously, he's still with the Browns on a practice squad, but, JoJo – he had the torn ACL last year, week three, and then they essentially abandoned that package plays for a specific guy. And I think that Anthony Schwartz is that guy this year, and off to a really good start. You know, obviously showed up well today. It's interesting what that'll look like when Odell Beckham Jr. comes back. You know, I mean, there's just not enough to go around. Like, Rashard Higgins didn't get targeted today, despite Odell being out. DPJ started. He only had one target. It was a catch on a slant on the final possession. But Landry and Schwartz were really the main targets. And then we saw a lot of the three tight ends. I thought that was interesting. That was a wrinkle that they used quite a bit. And Njoku really had he carried over what we saw in training camp, looking really good and having a nice day with a few catches, big chunk yardage plays, and contested grabs at that.
All right, Nate. So what do I owe you? We had a bet.
You owe – well, you don't owe me anything. You just owe me friendship.
Come on.
And I appreciate it. No, but – No, here's the thing. Like, this was a great game. This is what I thought it would be, really. But, you know, the Browns are right there, and that's the good news for them. I don't think this team's overhyped. I mean, I think that they are every bit of the contender we thought they were. And, you know, it's going to be a marathon, though. We'll see how the rest of it goes, and we'll be here to cover every bit of it. But, you know, you got to stay healthy. And you got to continue to evolve and adjust, adapt to what people are trying to do to you. And, you know, we'll see if Odell Beckham Jr. comes back. Today, Stefanski said after the game, it's a possibility, when he was asked about the home opener Sunday against Houston. So Houston, it's like it's one of those games where what are the storylines? Really, there are a bunch of ex-Browns players on the Texans roster, but no big names. Could be OBJ's return, though.
Real quick, was there a Jed Wills update?
Just that he needs more tests is what Stefanski said. But Baker said he thought he was, you know, proud of the way Hubbard played and, you know, kind of stepped up under fire. So, I mean, that was a big thing for Hubbard, too. He's coming off that major surgery after dislocating his kneecap. So, I mean, that was – I thought they did pretty well considering you lost your left tackle, you know, in sort of a, you know – right, kind of when the game was on getting tough.
Yeah. Jedrick Wills is like cursed against the Chiefs. I feel so bad for him. He was hurt at the very beginning of that playoff game, January 17th. He had a high ankle sprain and a lateral ankle sprain, two types of ankle sprains on the same play. And it took him like 2 months of the offseason to rehab from that. I talked to him all about it during training camp. So here he is with another game against the Chiefs in Arrowhead. Really amped up to try to, you know, make the difference that he thought he could in the playoffs, but wasn't able to. And that's it's another ankle injury. So I feel for him, but we'll see. And, you know, that's why Chris Hubbard's so valuable. You need depth everywhere. And fortunately for the Browns, they have it in a lot of key areas.
All right, guys, I'll let you get back to work. Enjoy the rest of KC and the rest of your evening. And we're going to call it a night. For Nate Ulrich, Molly Reidenauer, I'm George Thomas, and we'll talk to you next week.